Lord be with you.
And also with you.
So I would like to make announcements, but if we're trying to keep the doors closed before the service, because we're out there talking, some people in here trying to mentally prepare for service. If you're talking, the doors open, Calvin's in here very loud. And so, just so you know that they're going to have that door closed for you. So those who come in here to prepare will be able to do that without the distraction. Okay? Please rise as we begin singing our first hymn.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart to confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I will always sorrow for them, and sincerely repent of them, and grant pray thee of thy honors and mercy, and for the sake of the holiness and severity of sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Of this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love.
For they have been from of old.
Let not my enemies exult over me.
Redeem Israel, O God, out of all troubles.
To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
O Lord, my God, in you I trust. Let me not be brought to shame.
Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions.
According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
Good and upright is the Lord.
Therefore, he is not sinners in the way.
For your name's sake, O Lord,
pardon my guilt, for it is great.
Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love.
For they have been from of old.
Let not my enemies exult over me.
Redeem Israel, O God, out of all troubles.
Despise nothing you have made, and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us new and contrite hearts, that lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive from you full pardon and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Question 55. How do we fear and love God in keeping the fourth commandment? We fear and love God by not despising our parents, guardians, and other authorities. Despising means looking down upon them or making fun of them. Proverbs 23. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Despising means disobeying or rebelling against their God-given authority. Proverbs 15. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. We fear and love God by receiving and recognizing parents and authorities as representatives. We do this by honoring them. I want you to read Mark 7, where Jesus condemns those who use man-made religious traditions as an excuse for not honoring their father and mother. We do this by serving and coming to the aid of our parents. John 19, standing by the cross of Jesus, where his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Then they want you to read Genesis 47 about how Joseph cared for his father and brothers. We do this by obeying our parents, pastors, teachers, employers, and government authorities. Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Hebrews 13, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Romans 13, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. We do this by loving and cherishing our parents and other authorities on account of their God-given vocations. Luke 2, and he, Jesus, went down with them, Mary and Joseph, and came to Nazareth, and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. The Old Testament reading for Reminiscere is written in the 32nd chapter of Genesis, beginning with verse 22. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and the man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you have asked about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank when it's on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip and the muscle that shrank. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Consider my afflictions and my trouble,
and forgive all my sins.
Our epistle reading is from St. Paul's first letter to the Christians in Thessalonica, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 1. Finally, then, brethren, We urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and in honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of or defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Here endeth the epistle reading. Please rise for the tract. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Who can utter the mighty deeds of the Lord?
For we declare all his praises.
Blessed are they who observe justice.
Who do righteousness at all times.
Remember me, O Lord, when you show favor to your people.
God will be when you save them.
The Holy Gospel is written in the 15th chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Cana came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he addressed her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs. And she said, Yes, Lord, and even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Here endeth the gospel reading. Let us confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost and the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us and for our society. He suffered and was buried, and on the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and his Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets, and I believe one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn. Thank you. Testament reading from Genesis 32. The theme is the key to prayer, faith, and the promise. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading, you meet Jacob at the climax of his struggle with God and men. Now, in order to better understand the significance of this wrestling match, you must go back a few chapters to when Jacob first fled his family home. You see, Jacob left his father and mother because his brother Esau vowed to kill him, because Jacob deceived his father, Isaac, so that he gave Jacob Esau's blessing. In his flight, God visited Jacob in a dream and said, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south, and in you and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Dear saints in Christ, after God blessed Jacob and made him rich, and he gave him 11 sons, God again appeared to Jacob and said, "Return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you." So then Jacob arose, took his family, his livestock, and traveled back to the land which God promised to give to his descendants. And on the way, Jacob again met angels of the Lord to encourage him that God would carry out what he had promised to him. But then Jacob's attitude changed. The messengers he sent ahead of him returned. His brother Esau was coming with 400 men. Esau, the brother who had vowed to kill Jacob, Now was equipped with enough, more than enough men to kill him, his wives, his children, and take all of his flocks and servants. And now Jacob is afraid. So he sends massive gifts of livestock ahead of him in droves to appease his brother Esau's wrath. He divides his family into two camps, thinking that if Esau raids the one camp, the other could flee and escape. Jacob is terrified. Why is Jacob terrified? What has changed? What has happened to make one believe that God will not keep his promise to Jacob? God said he would multiply his family, that he would give them the land of Canaan as a possession, that he would bless all the families through his offspring. And moreover, he would not leave him until he had accomplished what he had promised. So what has happened to make Jacob doubt that God would do as he said? Has God appeared to tell Jacob that he has changed his mind? No. Jacob's brother, who wants him dead, is coming with 400 men. Jacob fears Esau will kill him with the women and children. But that would mean that God's promise would not come true then. But what are 400 men compared to God's promise? I mean, it could be 400,000 men with chariots of steel. And that would not change God's promise. Nothing has changed in regards to God's promise. Nevertheless, though the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Believing God's promise, when it looks like the promise will fail, is too much for the sinful human nature, even if you dearly want to believe it. So then what does Jacob do? He does as any Christian should do. He prays. Still pay careful attention to how Jacob prays. He says, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your kindred, that I may do you good. I am not worthy of all the least of all the deeds of the steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two camps. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he may come and attack me, the mothers with my children. But you said, I surely will do you good, and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Did you notice how Jacob prayed? He didn't claim his own righteousness. He didn't claim that he deserved anything at all from God, but that he was in fact unworthy of all that God had already given him. Nevertheless, he clung to the promise. But she said, this is the key to prayer, faith in the promise. God only hears prayers said in faith. And Jesus promises in Mark's gospel that whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you will have received it, and it will be yours. Nevertheless, how can you have faith that God will give you what you ask? You have to ask according to God's promise. Jacob's faith clings to God's promise. In order to pray, you must have faith. And in order to have faith, you must have a promise to hold on to. However, even after Jacob prays this wonderful prayer of faith, God doesn't immediately answer him. Rather, God appears to Jacob as a man and wrestles with him all through the night. How is this an answer to Jacob's prayer? Now, after pouring out his heart to the Lord, he must pour out his sweat and blood and endure extreme pain. Still, even in the wrestling match, Jacob insists on God's promise. When the Lord knocked his hip out of joint, Jacob clung on and refused to let him go until the Lord blessed him. This is the same as saying, "No, you promised. I won't let you go until you do as you promise." And Jacob's prayer was answered. God blessed Jacob. And the next morning when Jacob arose, Esau came to him. He embraced him. He kissed him. And they wept. Jacob's family was not in danger. Esau had forgiven Jacob. Jacob had passed the test. And God kept true to his word. So what has God promised you? Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. These words from the Lord mean that your sins were washed away in the waters of holy baptism. And through faith you receive salvation as a gift. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Again, Jesus promises that you that through faith you will receive eternal salvation. Holy Scriptures declare that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How can your salvation be in doubt? Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. St. Paul reasons, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Indeed, you should have confidence to pray as God bids you in Psalm 50. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. So many and so clear are the promises of God to you. He promises to forgive you your sins. He promises to give you eternal life. He promises to protect you in every danger. He promises a good result of every trouble you encounter. As the Apostle Paul says in his letters to the Christians in Rome. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. I dare say, you have more clear and plentiful promises from God to do you good than Jacob did, who himself saw God. Yes, life is difficult. There's a reason why the most beloved psalm of so many is Psalm 23, in which you recite, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you suffer from sickness, death of loved ones, and your own impending death. You deal with regret, temptation, and your own lack of faith. You fear for the future. You're ashamed of your past. You feel suffocated in the present. Pain, sorrow, shame, fear. These are all trials you must bear at any given year. And this past year has been a rough one for a number of you, for a number of reasons. For some, your routines have changed. You all have many people you care about, whom you rarely or never see. Many of you struggle with anxiety, strife with those you want to love but find it difficult. Fear, anger, frustration, loneliness, apathy, and all this heaped upon the struggles you may already have been facing. However, how do any of these trials cancel out the promises that God has made to you? How do any of these trials undo what God has done? They don't. They can't. Just as Esau and his 400 men could not cancel out God's promises to Jacob, so neither can any trial you face in this life cancel the promises God has made to you. St. Paul writes again in his letter to the Christians in Rome, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nor anything else in all of creation. This means that you can fill in this statement of faith in God's love with anything that seems to be separating you from God's love. So neither death nor life, nor anxiety, nor cancer, nor unemployment, nor addiction, nor sin, nor temptation, nor regret, nor sickness, nor betrayal, nor anything else that may be troubling you right now, nor will be in the future, will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus your Lord. So whatever your trial, cling to God's promise. Know that nothing in all creation is able to undo what God has done for you in Christ Jesus your Lord. Nevertheless, often do you do the very opposite of what you should do. Your trials lead you to flee from God's promise, to avoid God's word and instruction, to avoid receiving the sacrament of Christ's very body and blood, which forgives your sins, strengthens your faith, and increases your love for one another. You avoid prayer and dwell on the problems that are threatening your happiness and your security. Or even worse, they try to drown your sorrows with medication, drugs, alcohol, further harming your relationship and adding to the shame and depression. However, these are not the solutions to life's trials. Taking a break from God's word will never help your faith grow. Delaying prayer will not prepare you to pray better later. Do not wait until you feel better to look to God's promises for encouragement, as if God's love is only for those who are without sin. No. While you were still sinners, Christ died for you. Listen to God's promise to forgive you, to save you when you feel unworthy and utterly sinful. Do not wait to pray until you feel worthy. Pray when you feel unworthy, as Jacob did, who deserved none of the loving kindness God showed to him. Pray not according to your worthiness, but according to God's promise, which cannot be taken away by anything in all of creation, whether it be 400 armed men or your own foolishness and sin. Your saints in Christ, the only thing that will separate you from God's love in Christ Jesus is if you refuse to repent of your sins and refuse to cling to God's promise to forgive and save you for Christ's sake. Nevertheless, when you hold on to God's promise to you in Christ, you are equipped to pray with confidence and to endure your trials. You see, it is by focusing upon God's promise to you in Christ that you learn to rejoice in your suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not put you to shame. Then you learn that God sends you on these trials so that you may learn that God does not cancel out his promises to you. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Let's pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Shepherd of Israel, you disdain nothing that you have made. Create in us new and contrite hearts that, lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we would receive your absolution with true penitence. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty God, preserve all pastors in Christ, especially Matthew, our synodical president, Brady, our district president, Greg, our circuit visitor. Renew this congregation among all your saints faith to cling to you in adversity, boldness to oppose the devil and resist the flesh, and compassion to serve one another in love. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
O Lord, our Father, you have adopted us into your heavenly family as brothers of your Son, Jesus Christ. Teach us, after the example of Jacob and Esau, to overcome brotherly strife and persist in prayer and with humility. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Merciful Lord, give steadfastness and wisdom to our leaders, especially Donald, our president, Tim, our governor, and all congressmen, judges, and civil servants. We pray that you would watch over and guard and comfort, especially Gordon, Brandon, John, Rebecca, Donovan, and Emily. Grant peace between nations and a spirit of humility and concord to our citizens. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Shirley continually by your word and spirit, that she may faithfully keep the covenant into which she has been called, boldly confess her Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord God, you hear the cries of your of the severely oppressed and bless them with healing in your appointed season. Comfort those who wait on you, especially Pat, Robin, Carol, Arlen, Nathan, Jamie, Richard, Steve, Kathy, Jerry, Ruth, Roger, Helen, Deanna, Carlene, Brianna, Leisha, Robin, Deb, Mary, Wally, Shirley, Billy, the family of Tammy Butler, and the Leslie family. Increase their faith and bring them through their trials. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, though it is not right to give the crumb children's bread to the dogs or to cast pearls before swine, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Receive us in your mercy, enable all who commune to make a good confession of faith, both and receive us in your mercy. That you are our only Savior, that we may receive your true body and blood for the forgiveness of all our sins. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, in so much as the adversary continually afflicts us, as a roaring lion walks about, seeking to devour us, we implore you for the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, to help us by the grace of the Holy Spirit, and to strengthen our hearts by your word, that our enemy may not prevail over us, but that we may evermore abide in your grace and be preserved unto the everlasting life, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you.
Hearts, we might be prepared joyfully
to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with Tammy and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Yeah.
take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given with the death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given with the death for your sin. Take, eat. True body of Christ. Take, drink. The true body of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul in life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
by his grace, do unto death for your sins.
Thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee, and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Service for the 2:45. confirmation Thursday. Ladies and gentlemen, from the ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get it right. I have ladies in March. And then Saturday is the funeral for Teddy Butler. Visitation is at noon for 1:00. The service starts at 1:00. Oh, blessed be God.
Yes. Don't we have also lunch at 5:30 Wednesday night?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I was just testing you. God bless you.